Watson is on leave of absence. He's extended his apology. But otherwise, let me welcome those members who are here and we are able to start this meeting.
We had a similar situation that we haven't seen the DG for some time, and I'm not very happy that, you know, that he's not here, but they came all the way, so my feeling is let's go ahead with the prisoner, but again make a strong objection to the fact that the DG is not here, because we haven't seen him for quite some time, but he was prepared to be in the Finance Committee meeting. That was about 2 weeks ago. I saw him there in the Select Committee of Finance where he reported.
Yeah, in fact, we would really register our dissatisfaction that it's reported to him that in the future, really, things should not happen like that. But due to the fact that the Select Committee, we don't have the leisure of time, we we are compelled under the circumstances then to move forward with this. But otherwise we wish in the future this is not okay. So the briefing by the Department of Agriculture on their 0607 annual report, we will then request the acting DG to do the kicking off.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me start by acknowledging the statement made by the Chair, and we will make sure that we convey that message to the DG as the Chair has reflected. Thanks as well, Chair, for your indulgence on this matter. Chair, I thought before we start with the presentation, I will do a round of introduction to the colleagues that are with us here. On my right, Chair, is Mr. Swart. Mr. Swart is the Chief Program Officer in the department responsible for ensuring that line programs in the department are implemented efficiently within the province and the country at large. On my left, Chair, is Ms. Vangile Titi, who is the Deputy Director General responsible for sector support, sector services. Next to her is Dr. Mukhajane, who is responsible, the Deputy Director General responsible for biosecurity. Next to her, Chair, it's Mr. Malachi. Mr. Malachi is the acting Deputy Director General responsible for livelihoods, economics, and business development. Next to Mr. Malachi, Chair, is Mr. Mare. Mr. Mare is our Chief Financial Officer in the department. Next to Mr. Mare is Mr. Fenter, the Director responsible for finance and budget. Next to Mr. Fender, Chair, is Ms. Sihole, who is our Chief of Communications within the department. With those introductions, Chair, I had already mentioned the apology from the Director General, but we also have an apology from Dr. Mkhize, who is responsible for production and resource economics. He is the Deputy Director General responsible for that program within the department. He is acting precisely because of the fact that a face that is familiar to yourselves, Ms. Nduli, has just been posted to the FAO office in Rome, which the department, in its collaboration with the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, we've got an office there, Chair, and therefore we do place from time to time officials from the department to work in that office on a full-time basis in terms of our cooperation with the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. Chair, maybe let me go straight into the presentation. The outline of our presentation, Chair, I will quickly go through an overview of reflected on our strategic plan, which is the DG's overview. We will then go to program two, and that presentation will be made by Mr. Malachi. Program three, which is biosecurity and disaster management, will be done by Dr. Mukhajane, and program four by myself, given the fact that Dr. Mkhize could not be able to be with us today. And the program five, which is sector services, will be presentation detail will be made by Mr. Vangile Titi. Our CFO will take us through the financials, and we will take questions and from the committee. What we've tried to do, Chair, in this presentation is to try and limit our presentation to highlights in terms of the work that we've done in 2006-2007, because we thought that it's more important for us to get an engagement with the committee on the substance which is contained in the annual report that the committee has in front of themselves. In terms of the highlights, Chair, the committee will recall that the department had identified for itself seven priority areas which range from the African Agricultural Development Program, from Agriculture Black Economic Empowerment Program that we initiated as far back as 2004, the Comprehensive Agricultural Support Program, which is intended to augment the delivery at the provincial level, the Integrated Food Security and Nutrition Program, which is the core of what we do as agriculture, in our partnership, of course, as well with our Food and Agriculture Organization, the Knowledge Management, which is basically support systems for all the work that we do as a department, National Resource Management, which is the work that we do in the rehabilitation of agricultural resource, natural regulatory services, and research and development. Just purely on highlights on the AADP, which is the first priority, one of our priorities, is that we managed to make significant advancement on the impact program through our contribution to the comprehensive agricultural, to our comprehensive agricultural, African agricultural development program. The chairperson will probably recall the decision that was made by the head of the African Union on the increased investment in agriculture. What we managed to be able to do in 2006-2007 was the development of a comprehensive national medium-term investment program for implementation in SCADA. We are proud to say that with respect to the trade protocols, which is the subject of stuff, that work that we identified in terms of within our strategy plans and check to make effect the strategy trade protocol of 2008, including the agreed customs union paradigm or regime within the whole strategy region by 2010. With respect to our trade, it was the expanding of the FTA that we have with the EU check. That FTA is as we have presented here before, and when we're doing our strategy plan, is being broadened now to include our staff members, and those negotiations would actually lead to a broader access and strengthening of markets for the entire SACO country within the EU FTA. With respect to the agriculture board based Black Economic Empowerment, the smaller the business growth and the value adding operations are the focal point with respect to the agri program of the department. We also within the agri program focus on supporting the agri processing in line with the objectives that have been enshrined within the ACTA program. To date, more than 18 million has been invested in batteries as part and parcel of our contribution to the skills development within the country, in particular within agriculture, and over 160 projects in place in internship programs within the sector, which is a partnership between ourselves, the University of Stellenbosch, and the other sector of contribution to field development. The CAST chair, which we started in 2004, continues to yield quite significant improvements in terms of the spending patterns within CAST. We have now completed the pilot project around CISA, and we are now in the process of working out the micro agricultural financing system of our Africa to the entire country. The three provinces that we did the pilot project that is Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Eastern Cape, and the monitoring and evaluation
like we've done previously, but that the rollout was quite successful and therefore the pilot project was quite successful, and therefore the rollout should then be taking place during this kind of current financial day. In line with the CSA program and our contribution to the CSA, which is the modification of the livestock development program, we worked together. We worked extensively together with our research council, which is our special research council, to roll out the livestock development strategy. We've also, in terms of the highlights, started developing a monthly early warning advisory to our farmers, and we've been continuing with our awareness program on disaster management related matters. On the ISSM pitch, our special program for food security has been expanded now to the 9 provinces. In line with the Millennium Development Goals of Housing Hunger by 2014. And what we've done here, part of the allocation that we see in Parliament in terms of our vote, is that 10% of the CAF budget is actually focused. The side effect that when we started to CAF, we were investing a lot in terms of infrastructure, but we took conscious decisions which we are following. In terms of our allocation to CAF funding, and 10% of that goes to food security projects. Some of the activities around the integrated food security nutrition program, in partnering with the provinces, include the Sierra in the Eastern Cape, Sierra Zona in Kinderland, and the Agui and the Masalini in Pumala. In 2006, we led the World Food World Food Day celebration, which took place in Pietermaritzburg. This year, we in the manner that we do it of growing all talent in the province. In this year, on the 16th of October, that World Food Program took place in Pumala. On the knowledge management, which is a key issue around the planning for our deliverables of the department, we have continued to provide a comprehensive integrated and current agricultural information to our agricultural geographical information system. We developed about 3 years web-based project management information system, which is intended to check all the projects that the department has, including those projects that are funded through the CAF and MAFISA program. We have also launched for the people of the emerging farmers the agricultural marketing information system to try to assist the farmers with respect to where the markets are for the agricultural products and the we also continue to have quarterly and monthly sector performance information using our partners, as well as the economic overview that we do every quarter for sharing, which some of that is contained in our annual report, which is the economic overview, which helps in terms of checking what the trends are from the HBA on the performance of the within the area of natural resource management, our focus on our flagship program, which is the land care, continues to grow in terms of its area of reach. Given we're working together with our agricultural research council and the other research institutions to basically keep track of the changes in the climate and try to put together strategies to mitigate against such change and to the extent to which they have got an impact on agricultural growth in Germany. And we have spent $468 million that are allocated in the drought relief program, which includes fodder and distribution and water system repairs for the drought relief, and in addition, shall we manage to develop a drought management plan, which we've started now and which we started within the last year, and engaging with the industry. One of our strategies around the drought management plan that we did during the last winter was to make sure that we develop teams long before the drought, we develop that hook teams long before the drought themselves take place, so that we reduce the lead time between the declaration for the drought or a disaster and the actually assistance that government hands out to our clients, which is the farmer. Around the national regulatory system, services, sorry, the chair, just as an overview, we've increased our border controls and our capacity has also increased both within the borders as well as chair would note. When you go out of GIA, when you come into GIA, you find our program for the dog which do the sniffing to make sure that undesirable foodstuff or agricultural products don't come through the over Tambo International Airport. We've expanded on the international engagement with trade and cultural partners to make sure that technical barriers to trade are identified up front, and therefore the trade in agriculture doesn't get affected by those, and through our engagement with our international partners, we've been able to broaden our ability to do export of agricultural products. When we last came to the committee with the class transplant fever in the Eastern Cape was the topic of the day, and we managed through our system through our regulatory system to contain and one could safely say that as we speak right now, all the quarantine and other measures that were put in the Eastern Cape have now been seized, and the class transplant fever in particular is under control. We through using our regulatory system, we resumed our efforts of postage, which was a result of the avian flu H5N2 thing that was an outbreak in the hostage industry, and our industry has managed now to start exporting. As Chair would recall, that more than 80% of the hostage produced in South Africa is actually intended for export purposes, and we are the lead in the world with respect to the people. On the research development, through our engagement with the NAF, we are in the process of finalizing. We had started at the end of the financial year, on the brink of consolidating and concluding together with all the partners in agriculture the agricultural research and development strategy for the entire country, which takes into cognizance both research done by the state, the research done by commodity organization, and some private research, and trying to say that this is all research work, how to ensure that we finance that collaboratively together with our partners within the National Agricultural Research Forum. And we've been working consistently for the last couple of years for the benefit of the sector in financing research that is done by our Agricultural Research Council. And as an approach to that is that what we do is to identify the priority research areas and fund them out of our project, augmenting the research budget that the Agricultural Research Council can get, and use that as a primary point of call for doing the ad hoc research projects for the year. Chair, without wasting much of your time, I will hand over to Malachi, the acting Deputy Director General for Livelihood, to take us through the work, the highlights around livelihood and economics and business development.
Members, some of the highlights of the problem library economic and business development are as follows. One, we launched program called Food Security and Vulnerability Management Information System, commonly known as FISIS. This is a system that will assist us as a country to identify areas which are more vulnerable to food insecurity. And in collaboration with Jobs for Growth and Micro Enterprise, we managed to see about 50 community-based organizations and 90 corporates in social mobilization, enterprise development, and microfinance. We, in collaboration with provinces, facilitated and funded 741 projects in our health project with a total of 46,627 beneficiaries. We also combined the in-season satellite and airborne imaging system for accurate quantitative cross-estimation assessment to help us to correctly estimate the crop estimates that we always want to establish and publish before the end of the year. We developed a test collection system that will also advise us in terms of farm record management and processing rates. We also increased access to an in-house intelligence system that's around marketing system, what's happening out in the market. And we concluded the regulatory reporting that we achieved three trade agreements with the European Trade Association.
We adapted a program on life facility and disaster management. The program is based on capital of five of the inspection services, food, animal health, and disaster management. And during the reporting year, the Fund of Inspection Services managed to support the technical, bilateral, and multinational engagement which we normally do to facilitate exports. In addition to that, we managed to review an act under the Agricultural Test Act, which currently the policy will be published soon, which together with the act which was amended. So in addition to that, what we did was to institute any warning system for foreign tests and for blood to warn farmers in advance regarding the foreign tests which might come into the country. In addition, we participated in annual meetings of the IPPC, which is the Inter Phytosanitary Council, Plant Protection Phytosanitary Convention, the Inter African Phytosanitary Council. That's what we did in the past year, because normally we're expected to participate in that in order as to harmonize some of the plant health and animal health regulations. For plant health and inspection services during the reporting year, there were several inspection services done, particularly with regard to all the plant products and GMOs and animal products which might come into the country, and with this enhancement of quality assurance and phytosanitary and geosanitary management. Also, several standard operating procedures were implemented within plant health services in order as to harmonize those procedures. And we, with regard to the legal dog project, which we call Sidupe, it has been expanded, as the acting duty has indicated. What we did was to train more people and their handlers to ensure that we are ready for 2010 to can manage all the international exports which might lead to foreign trade coming into the country. On risk and disaster management, the acting duty mentioned a number of issues there, particularly with regard to air warning systems which have been established. Advisory services which were issued regularly to advise farmers and knowledge in advance. In addition, there were quite several workshops and campaigns conducted throughout the country to raise awareness among farmers. And the program with the ACGD which has been implemented, and assessment of drought situation also has been undertaken. The implementation of the coastal relief and flood relief also was implemented. And with regard to food safety and quality assurance, which is also one of the directives within the process, we managed to compile the compendium on maximum residue levels for pineapple. I think that you remember there was an outcry on the export of some of the pineapples which were exported from the Eastern Cape, where they were found to be having high cadmium levels. But with regard to that, where we then managed to choose the maximum residue levels so that the we run another digital export standard as well as requirements were governed and published. We also, amendments for export standards for frozen foods and vegetables were also established and the red meat regulations. The animal feed policy, which continues to be a challenge with regard to the needs, with regard to the dangers which might be caused by diseases like mad cow disease, we managed to establish an animal feed policy to try and manage this. Other policies which were established is the pesticide management policy, stock remedies policy, which have been published for comment, and the policy on fertilizer and agricultural remedy policy was also published. With regard to animal health, the training of animal health owners is also one of the issues which were undertaken during the reporting year. Compilation of regulations, particularly with regard to keeping of ostriches, because in terms of the requirements for export of ostriches, ostrich meat to the EU, all farms ought to be registered to ensure that we manage the productive systems on the farm. The ACTP also mentioned the control that the ability of the department to have managed the outbreak of critical plant fever in the Eastern Cape province, which has been a major challenge with regard to the control of it. Outbreak of foot and mouth disease, which was in Punta Maria, was also managed under and put under control on time. This did not actually affect our foot and mouth disease status, and so we continue to enforce. There are quite a number of such challenges which actually keep on going on. Issues which are quite important, the issue around the acquisition and relation to sustainable skills, because it happens that the department tends to be spending quite a lot of people in the department and tend to leave also, which I think we then address through our retention policy. With regard to various other services, the communication between the provinces has been a challenge. However, it has been managed through establishment of the protocol, which will assist the coordination of veterinary services between national and the provinces. With regard to occurrence of certain diseases, for instance, like the high infection rates in certain provinces, we felt that maybe we need to conduct quite a number of awareness because this is can be prevented, and particularly for young kids who get infected due bites or dogs. So those awareness programs were conducted. Biosecurity concern as a result of exposure from imports is a major challenge because with the movement of people move with goods and create a challenge with regard to our control at the border.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to behalf of the production and resources mechanism. I could just mention that program is two sub-programs. So one is agricultural production, and the other one is engineering, energy, resource use and management. And in this regard, I will be asking for the agricultural production side, as you understand. With essentially plant production guidelines and animal improvement and development programs. And with regard to that program, we were able to present regulations on the Animal Improvement Act. And they the business plans were developed for work productivity improvement aquaculture. There have been the animal improvement team. Also, they have undertaken a service level agreement with the feedlot industry, and that program has been implemented. As mentioned on the slide there, developed norms and standards for GMO testing. This is, of course, for the state responsible use of GMOs. And a series of production guidelines introduced for grain, fruits, vegetables, and crops, essential oils. And then on this slide they mentioned the National Soil Fat Index. I can also mention that in the engineering area the heavy water fence is under construction. I can also mention, which is not on this slide, the considerable inputs from the agricultural side on biofuels that appear in the biofuel strategy. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Vandita Chiki, and I will be dealing with Program 5, which is the capacity and partnerships. The program has two sub-programs, sector services and international intergovernmental and trade program issues. We managed to establish the National Agriculture Education and Training Forum Executive Committee, which focuses on skills assessment, the development of training plans, and generation of reports for CAP-funded projects. We also signed the partnership agreement with the Food and Agriculture Organization for Capacity Building to benefit South African professionals. This is to assist us in achieving our condition of aid management and rapid response to emergencies. We also implemented sectoral master mentorship program for the development of over 6,958 beneficiaries, and we collaborated successfully with community organizations. An organization representing here is the National Growers Association, where we were able over a period of 2 years to move farmers, wool farmers from earning 100 rand over a period to 13,000. Now we are in 30,000. We've managed to strengthen agriculture relations to the SADC region through our involvement on agricultural engagement. We also produced a report providing extension and advisory services, which reflects capacity needs of extension based on the ratios that are outlined in the long-term standards that we presented to you a year or so ago. Thank you.
The first slide does indicate the actual expenditure of the department during our future 7 and the pandemic mentioned the numbers with the market administration at 227 million rand. Livelihood economics were improved at 680.6 million. Biosecurity and disaster management 434.6. Production and resource management 270.9. Secretaries for 659.4. That is the total spending for that financial year of 2,219.6 million. Jefferson, if I take the appreciation of the amount that Parliament approved for this department discount of 2.3 million, is an underspending of 148.1 million rand or 6.6% out of the total appreciation. Jefferson, on the second slide, if I can quickly go to the underspending, that now specific amount here person was surrendered in terms of the national treasury. I think what must be taken into account here person is the fact that claims to the amount of 88.7 million rand for classical swine fever from the Eastern Cape Department of Agriculture must not be received by us on time. In other words, it could not be paid out before the 31st of March this year, and with that paid back the national treasury and with their approval from over to the current financial year and will present the Parliament for appropriation in the adjustment estimate next week. So Chairperson, the actual underspending of this department, because within our control is 59.4 million or 2.5%, which is again then within the treasury's 3% benchmark for underspending. However, Chair, what the department did on the underspending of 59 million, we undertook a reprioritization exercise within the department, and also based on the last year and the previous 4 financial years in result of the directors, we cut the, I would say, underspenders, as such, we reallocated that fund to services before we think that the money is needed. As far as the current year, it is not such a not reporting on that, but spending in terms of the spread line being longer than on that. Just quickly on the 59.4 million, that can be attributed to vacancies, not for that stage it was roughly 570. Of course, once you've got vacancies, you also have an understanding of the facilities. There were capital work projects that were not finalized. That is not to go through the Department of Public Works, outside of our control, and then large membership fees that was not paid on time. Chairperson, that's as far as the budget goes. If we can look at the reports from the Auditor General side, the department has 2 reports, one for the vote by 25 itself, and then for the agriculture of debt account. First of all, Chairperson, by 25 received again an unqualified and one instance of transaction. get close to the destination of Kepler. I think the way we understand it is that a paragraph in all the departments reports from over the general, and it seems to us all talking to the system from National Treaty side as the adult, because we are we apply this system strictly in terms of the fiscus. As far as the agriculture delegate is concerned, chairperson, we received a qualified report. The reason for the qualified report is the nature of the pledge security. Security for loans as well as for the other departments and parts. These are necessary issues like crops, harvest, movable assets. So there are different viewpoints between ourselves and all the general office numbers specifically allocated to these securities. But if there's not to be that following paragraph, specifically in the auditor's report, he stated as follows. He said that the auditor general stated that, except for the effect of the above, that was adjusting some of the security, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the agricultural delegate on 31st of March 2007 and its financial performance and cash flows for the year that ended. In other words, it was from a number of money point of view, there was nothing wrong with the account. Chairperson, from an agricultural to get technical in this regard, but we do have problems with regard to bookkeeping in the sense of the, if we look at general accepted accounting principles. Treasury qualifies this account as our trading account. I take the principle because we do not trade whatsoever out of this account. Then after discussions with the National Treasury, the Auditor General decided to request Parliament to abolish the Agricultural Debt Management Act in terms of this account is managed. It will be submitted before the end of the current financial year. What will then happen? The outstanding debt will form part of the debt on the department's books in terms of the PFMA. We will manage that within our books. That's the way forward with the account. The last slide, Chairperson, is just to indicate the audit committee report. It states quickly that reviewing the special audit and financial statements of the audit general and accounting officer, reviewed the management letter from the audit general and assessments made. The audit committee concurs and accepts the audit general contribution on annual financial statements. Chairperson, thank you.
That's the highlight out of the president of contact and the highlight. Maybe a point that I could share might be accepted, you know, I mean, our CFO spoke to the living for understanding, and that's the third part. Among the issues that he highlighted was the vacancy reserve 31st March in a staff complement of 3,191 posts, only 18% of that was actually vacant. And having said 18% of that was vacant. Out of a total senior management chair of 64 senior managers, 54 of those folks were filled, and 10 of those were actually mentioned at the 31st of March 2007. That shall not exist with information that you're going to put on the site that might be of interest to the community. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Space now the committee moving that is the hand of one of the companies Thank you. time and programs are in place and we must make progress. And then we have our oversight visits, like we had when we went to Limpopo in the last few months, and we actually take Parliament to the people and we go and visit these parts. And it's a complete disaster. And you hear more and more people telling you that that was one a very productive farm. Now nothing's happening, everything's collapsing, structures are frozen, nothing works, the crops don't grow, the animals die. And you know, you have this massive kind of dissonance between what we read on paper and what's reported to us and the actual reality out there in our country. Now I'd like to refer to page 5 on the Comprehensive Agriculture Support Program. I mean, you know, it's easy to say what's interrogated in the page of this report. But this is towards the main part of the situation. The only way to the lead, this is a farm, was a fruit producing farm, 11,000 trees, very viable, profitable farm making enterprise. What they're doing now is actually growing or breeding gorilla chicken. Okay, with the help of a neighboring farmer. 4,000 out of the 11,000 trees have died. All the cattle died in the first month because nobody knew how to feed them. Actually should result in a criminal prosecution for cruelty to animals, towards animals. And the reason why the trees are dying is that the farm broke. The farm dam wall, the actual dam wall collapsed 7 years ago. Okay, and no one's ever fixed it. Now the people tell us that they contact the department and the department doesn't come and fix it up. So the trees have stuck. And you have this one flourishing farm, which is now a drain on the taxpayer and it's complete antithesis of what empowerment is supposed to be. Now what I'd like to ask this comment, help me understand why your reports are so glaring and why there's such a disaster out there. Why is it that these things happen? Why does it take 7 years to fix it? And just how bad is the situation? Is it true what people tell us that most of these farms that are taken over don't get the support? They don't get the statute to require themselves. They do not know how to feed animals, but don't get the use of animal diet. And that's what every guy can see these things. We hear them time and time and time again. Every farm we go to is a problem which didn't exist before the farm was taken over.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Though one tries to interpret these things, if you're not a farmer, then some of these things that you don't understand. Jefferson, my question relates to page 4 of the presentation, where he speaks of from 2003, 18.9 million invested in personnel and training benefited the sector. Now, these buzzards we are talking about, is it for who? When we talk about sector, in relation with these emerging farmers, are they also benefiting out of this? What sector are we talking about? So that one gets to know what sector we relate to. The other one says on page 5, I think you from that, you actually dwelt on that slightly, but mine is on the phrase that is in line with Agisa, Department of Agriculture together with the agriculture, research center, whatever we developed a livestock development strategy. Then it says monthly warning of climate advisory were issued. The awareness campaign on risk and disaster management were launched. I don't know that I'm trying to read these together with something coming on page 8 that says climate change related plan of action and mitigation strategies were adopted in increasing awareness of the human of activities. If such a strategy is there, how timely is that the people are aware of these climates? Because most of the farmers, I think they are caught unaware with their livestock, whatever changes there in the climate. Now, one would probably like to know, you know, in what way they've been assisted, if there's going to be a change of climate, because everybody has been caught unaware. The other one relates to page 21, the challenges. I can say that the acquisition and retention of suitable skills for the various directorates within the program, the six wide variety of phrasing, like the graduate, the culinary services and communication and all blah, 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 it remains a challenge. Now, it's a job of the retention field. I don't know what carrot has been dangled to actually retain these people, whether people are being told that things will come right. Hang on there, hang on there. But what is it that we are doing that is suitable, that would make many people not to us to go away? Otherwise, we're soon getting the fly-by-night, these animal doctors. The quite interesting thing, I haven't done anything, you know, since I've been here. These GMOs. what claims that are being targeted to have this GMO program? What are we eating? Everything has been now been known as GMO. What's going on? I think we need to be educated, thoroughly. You get to probably in the top. There's a target for millimeter. The other one is the curve. It's on the face. If it's white, white side. But there are different things. A millimeter is millimeter. Now, can really enlighten us and know exactly how long do we go with these GMOs? What about me? What about any other thing? Because they talk of what is development, production, guidelines for grain, fruit, vegetables, and all those things. One would like to get to the gist there and just find out exactly where are we heading to. I think the other one that relates to finance, I'll leave it to Mr. Maria again. I don't know what to do.
Moving to those areas. Thank you. Thank you, Ramza. Another one. Any chairperson? Chairperson, I don't know where to start. Let me start with the technical quality of the annual report. Chairperson, I have to agree with the Auditor General's report on 581, paragraph 20. Where he reported this, and I quote, "In some instances the evidence of actual performance provided was fragmented and consequently could not be clearly and conclusively matched to the target. Further, in certain cases the actual achievements of measurements that indicated the targets could not be substantiated by adequate evidence documents." I also have that problem, Chairperson. When I took the annual report, the threat plan that they presented to us, the threat plan 2006, and I tried to link it with what they're saying in the annual report, and try and link it with the budget, I got nowhere. It's very difficult to. Well, one gets a feeling that they're trying to hide things there. I'm not saying they're doing it, but one gets... I got 7 pages here of things that I tried to connect with the threat plan, which I could not find in the threat plan, but it's in the annual report. The annual report does not reflect on the performance and effectiveness and the impact of public entities in the report to the department, except for a short report on page 72, 71 and 72 by the accounting officer, and on page 15 and 16 on the legislative mandates. Other than that, there was nothing in that to in terms of the monitoring and evaluating of the E50, which in that report they said they're going to do that. The Agriculture Research Council was one of them. Chairperson, the Audit Committee's report on page 1661 provides very limited information. All they did there was to stick to what the PFMA in I think section 77 tells them to do, and they reported on that. But even here today, they did not report that they were at the audit committee for a great part of the financial year. They didn't mention it here. So, because if one looks at the previous year, they were contentless here. It's just taking the data in terms of the annual report. The section on section 5 on the human resource, they got 34 pages on human resources, which I think is very, very elaborate. One finds it actually very difficult to read. And then the annual report was also very quiet on what the President said in the State of the Nation address. I could not find any reference to that in the annual report, nor could I find any reference of the Minister's speech in the NA and in the NCFT. Although in here, there is, the Minister at that time, talking about certain issues, and I don't want to highlight them now, but the one that I picked up immediately is the agritourism project. Nowhere in this report could I read anything on what they promised and what they did. The 8 priority areas that was highlighted by the Director General, I took that. And Chairperson, the one that I wanted to highlight, because I don't want to go through this, I got 7 pages of it. I'm going to sit here the whole day interrogating this week. But this one that I thought was on Mafisa, in the annual, in this report, they said the scheme was launched in Limpopo, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and will be rolled out to other provinces in 2008. Now today we are hearing a repeat. It's still just there. They haven't done anything in the other provinces. Here they promised us in the strategic plan that it's going to be rolled out. Further provincial steering committees which have been established to facilitate this implementation. And none of this has been done or reported in this annual report. On Mafisa, the minister indicated in this document that there is 1.8 billion rand available for that. But only 196 million were transferred for that. What I'm trying to say is that this annual report is one of the worst ones I've seen. It's very difficult to read it. And my suggestion is, because there is such a lot of issues that I want to raise, and I'm going to sit here the whole day, that I put these questions in writing through the secretary and that to the department, and that they respond on these issues in writing, and that we as a committee then discuss the responses. But the chairperson, on the financials, I got also issues there, but I don't want to indulge in it now. The one that I want to just refer to, and it's not on on that, chairperson, let me just get it. Just a minute, because I've got so many things here. This is very worrying fact. Under the National Regulatory Services, one of their strategic priority areas. They say to amend the Agriculture Pest Act of 1983, Act number 36 of 1983. In the annual report, it is reported, according to the annual report on page 43, the draft Agriculture Pest Act was submitted to legal services only. And now, if I can understand correctly, it was indicated that this amendment bill went through Parliament already because it was in the regulations. So there's a lot of contradictions here. I must say, again, Chairperson, I find it very disturbing. It's a very difficult document to read. So I will submit my questions in writing to the
Secretary. Thank you, Honourable Member. It is unfortunate if Dr. cannot be the actual answer. She understands it. It depends on what the general has. But he finds it well. But let's hope we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yes, I'm going to
Chair
just ask one question. The second series, I think it's worrying for members. Every time departments come, they talk about the second series. Then I understand the reason why these vacancies are not filled. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. May you let me allow discussion.
Thank you, sir. I think there are a couple of questions, sir, that have been raised. Maybe I'm going to ask through in London, but some of my colleagues take care of the question. I'm going to ask, sir, that my colleague take care of the question that I'm passing to that by the honorable member. Just want to report on to the issues that are raised around early warning system and the climate change, which is quite a complex issue. I thought Dr. Mohsen would respond to the issue around geotechnical localization. Mr. Maria would respond to some of the issues around the vacancy rates and the audit. Mr. Malachi would respond to the question raised around the actuarial management and the disease part. And I think some colleagues would be also responsible.
I'm not sure, maybe what the comment made by the Auditor General is an unfortunate comment. It's unfortunate in the sense that the Auditor General, in terms of his own work, hasn't started to perform his body. What they are currently doing is to develop enough database that, in terms of their own work, when they start doing performance body, they would have had galvanized enough information. And therefore, I think commenting on performance costs. Let me make a simple example, Chair. We have made an indication as to how many cars that are there. And what one would obviously expect is that the Auditor General will do it in annual performance audit. If it was group performance audit, it would do a random sample of physical existence of these cars consumed each other. And that's not what they are doing in terms of their own standards. And I think the reason why I think that it's an unfortunate comment is because we started doing the performance study in terms of substance, but the comment is already being made on performance study. So which puts, I guess, it's the only department, perhaps all government departments in a quite difficult situation. I must say, Chair, right now that the Department of Agriculture is one of the best departments that has got monitoring and evaluation system, both on what's contained in the strategic plan, what we do check, which are in our last report to the committee presentation, where it indicated the extent to which we are so committed to monitoring and evaluation. Each and every quarter after we finish, we go back and produce a signed off report on the performance pertaining to the quarter. I think when we spoke to the, when we presented to the committee, I think when we presented the statement, we indicated that those reports are signed off by the DG, they get submitted to the minister, and that's the extent of rigor exercise that we're doing around the monetary strategy. But of course, if you are putting together an annual report, there are so many pages that we can put together. I must indicate right now, Chair, that our quarterly performance reports, which are checking performance on a quarterly basis against what was reflected on our statistics, is 198 pages every quarter as is the annual report. And I think what you then get faced with is to say, do we take 198 times 4 and put them into one document, which is practically impossible, I think purely from commercial presentation point of view, as well as to what extent can we spend state resources in producing a report that has got 198 times 4 is probably practical. And therefore, I think those are some of the challenges that one has to make a decision on putting together in a report. But I think the comments around the concern raised around trying to check between strategy plan and the annual report, I think we keep on trying to refine our annual report year on year, so as to make sure that some of them is consistent. Because what we do for the strategy planning level is that we put at the end of the strategy plan a couple of pages that are talking to basically the indicator. And we don't think purely from a presentation point of view, it's probably adequate to take all those numbers and say that the template that we have, I think the Honorable Chairman Farapul has in front of the strategy plan, that he said you will do four. So four has been done, we'll do three has been done. It becomes from a presentation point of view, perhaps quite difficult.
Just a question. Well, I think the acting DG is not, I don't know what to say what he's doing at the moment, but he's not like that. When you do a strat plan and you give us an undertaking, you present this to us as a committee and make some undertaking, it is a normal thing that those undertakings must be reflected in your report. What I'm trying to say is that these things that were the undertakings here, I could not find them in the report. And I'm not talking about the micro things. These were broad objectives that set out, this is not reflected in the annual report. So what he's trying to do here, I don't know what it is trying to do, but I take the exception against what he's saying here, that we did not basically read the report at the back. And that's not what I'm trying to do. I say the report reads very difficult. That's what I'm trying to do.
I accept the point by another person. And we will respond to the question. Honorable Samuel, and we will respond. I think he has promised to give us questions that will respond in the agency to the question. And maybe the first question that was raised by the honorable member was around land reform project. And I think that the question is quite complex in terms of how able the response is, because these projects range from error projects, restitution projects in their nature are projects that the restitution carriers themselves. And it depends which project it is. Some of the projects are basically the projects of the provincial department of the Department of Agriculture. And I think what the challenge that with responding to the question is that which exactly project is it? Is it a restitution project that the honorable member is talking to other projects that they talk to, so that we might be able to respond to that question. But I think it is a fact that there are certain land reform projects that exist. I think that point cannot be denied. But there are projects as well within the land reform industry, the CAD project, that we've assisted that has actually been great successes. One of the fundamental challenges that we as a department have been facing is that until first time we managed to get the comprehensive agricultural support program approved by the... We had always been faced with this challenge that there have been land reform projects financed by the Department of Land Affairs, and the support that agriculture required only up until 2004-05 when we got the CAF money, is that we couldn't assist in terms of foreign basic things, infrastructure, that could be augmented in terms of those projects. So I think Chair, two responses to that question. The first one, yes, I think it is true that there are certain land reform projects that have collapsed, and I think the Department of Agriculture, the Provincial Department of Agriculture, in the poor projects, they've tried to do something around, and I think some of the writings that say, the explanations that have been made by the MEC in terms of in the province, in the poor, in terms of why they've made certain interventions with respect to this project. But we must say, Chair, that with the assistance of the CAF, as small as CAF is in terms of its funding from the fiscal, is that it has attempted to assist in the number of projects. But of course, if you're taking an agricultural project, is that what you realize in terms of the task review that we've done, it's very difficult for you to start the project and say that, okay, because we've got so much more money, is that the next year you cannot take that project at all. This is one of the issues that you've actually were a revelation to us in terms of the review on council, that some of these projects require a concerted time to be taken through over a number of years, and not necessarily you come and assist this project this year because there is so much demand, the next day you go and assist the other projects, and that's an issue to handhold some of the projects over a number of years, and we're working around maybe the last comment that I thought I was going to make, I think there was a question that was raised, I don't remember, around the skills. We've got a number of intervention strategies. Of course, they are within the framework as designed for us by the Ministry of Public Service and Administration. One of those strategies that we had engaged with, because we had seen that there was a capacity challenge at the provincial level, was to try to harmonize, say, similar jobs, and allowed or enabled our minister for the National Intergovernmental Forum on Agriculture, which is Minister of Justice with MEC, to say that if you are a veterinarian in the Limpopo, you need to be paid the same amount of salary as a veterinarian in Gauteng, so that we avoid a situation where rural poor provinces suffer from the migration of skills at the provincial level to urban provinces because there's better salary. So we put in that governance framework to make sure that the skills don't, the provinces don't pay one province against each other because they've got an ability to pay more. That's one particular intervention. The battery scheme that I think the state is going to speak to is also an attempt to make sure that we develop the skills together with the internship program that I'm sure my colleague, the state utility support services, will talk to.
Thank you.
Maybe you can stop sharing the chair and get the mic.
Thank you, Chair. I think I will respond to the question raised by Honorable Zizi around the batteries and training. Just to indicate that with respect to training, we do pharma training, particularly through GADI, and that is reflected in the annual report at the quarters. So if you look at 65, I think, there is a reflection there of about 385 farmers who have been trained through the Houston Game Agricultural Development Institute. So we do that kind of training. But also, because you raised the issue of the amount of money spent, just to indicate that also includes the mentorship, of course, which I referred to in my presentation. But what we thought we would do, also coming out of the portfolio committee, is to compile a list of mentors, where these mentors are, what community activities they are involved in, and provide that information to the chair. So we will provide that information also to the chair of this committee. With respect to the bursary, of course the bursary targets both school-going youth, as well as people who have already entered tertiary institutions. But we focus on those with a subject combination of math and science. Currently we have about 600 youth that we are supporting, who are in the scheme, and they are covering what we have defined as guest skills, for example, the veterinary science, the agricultural engineering, the biotechnology, viticulture, and other areas. We have also reported here in the annual report about the internships, and we covered that, I think, substantively. Thank you.
Thank you. The acting DG is asking to respond to an area which I think my colleague, Dr. Magani, might respond to, but I would like to touch on the first question, which I think that the acting DG has spoken to already, the complexity of what is put on paper and perhaps is going to be practical to find this topic of training. I think the first point that you need to make is the servicing of those projects with a special activity. The National Department supports some of that. And one of our main support instruments, Chair, is of course the cash program. It's a provision of revenue, if you wish to call it, which I think the slide shows up until the year we're talking about, on this particular scheme, I think we have had some experience now. The first year spending on the scheme was very poor. The money we provided was not spent, or was spent, the last part was not spent. But last year, the spending by provinces had increased, and over the years, it increased with the engagement of ourselves with the provinces to a level of in excess of 95%. So I think the spending of tax money, we have become comfortable that provinces are now able to spend the money. We have done a cash review at the beginning of this year, at the end of the last financial year. And I think you're going to refer to some of the issues that come out of that is that it doesn't cover all the legs of CAS. We consider CAS as a program which is quite comprehensive, agricultural support program, but this financing mechanism that we have put into place only has been focusing on the infrastructure. To a large extent on infrastructure, some of the technical support is trained. So ourselves and the provinces agree that this should be widened. We should be looking at other pillars as well. There has been some movement of some of the money, but we also recognize in particular that
They actually look into the impact of the GMOs on the environment,
they also lose it before they can appoint a product to come into the system. They see the toxicology of it, they look into that, and in addition to that, they also look into other aspects, like, for instance, whether it tends to damage the soil or damage the crop for a long time period. So in South Africa currently, there are certain GMO events, many events, which have been approved. And those are not detrimental to human health. All the GMOs which have been approved, like countries like the US, United States of America, are not here in South Africa and are not allowed to come into South Africa. Because they approve within the American system, but in terms of South Africa, we have not actually approved those GMOs even. Would remember 3-4 years ago when we had a drought and there were some maize imported from the US and it came through our borders. There was a challenge of letting that maize cut through South Africa to go to Zambia and Uganda and other such areas because of the fact that there was no enhanced training to allow them to pass through South Africa. So it was stopped at the borders to ensure that they cannot just cut it through South Africa because the moment it gets into the country, it can be difficult to control it. So we founded that consultant which came from the U.S. because we were those GMO events which were changed in the U.S. are not allowed in South Africa. So in elaboration, I remember 2 years ago, the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Fertilizer had a workshop and give the details on the GMOs. We can propose that maybe as a relationship we can have issues around and debate around the GMOs and maybe give you more information on the GMOs. But I promise you that at the moment, the process which we have currently in terms of approving the GMOs coming into South Africa is very thorough. We are not doing it alone as agriculture. We are working with the other departments where the Department of Health is looking into food safety aspects, environmental affairs looking into environmental impact of it. And you've got also research and institutions who assist us in assessing the toxicology of some of the GMOs. So I would propose that maybe we can do that in the industry. With regard to the question on the agricultural sector, personally, I didn't bring my facility there, but maybe just give you the information on what happened in the last financial year. Within the department, a policy on agricultural sector and the draft act on agricultural sector were put in place, were compiled. So what we then decided in the department with the advice of our ministry, the deputy minister, saying that it's better to start first with the policy so that then we publish that for comments and deal with it. Those documents are available. I can, when I write that in Pretoria, I can post those documents to show you that they are in place. What we are trying to do at the moment is to ensure that we go through the white paper to say, approve first the policy before we come up with the act. That's the process which actually has been established in the country. We do have the start of the act being done. I think that they are covered. Oh, the slide on the retention of skills, and I think my colleagues have covered that. And maybe what I need to explain is the complication around veterinary services and transfer services. There is a challenge for producing veterinarians in the country. One is because we get that 95% of the vets who are trained and all the support in the country. And that is because of the demands which are there in other countries like in Europe and Australia, which are taking most of our veterinarians. And also the issue that you find that some of the veterinarians, the challenge in retaining them in the rural areas, you find that most of them are inclined to come and stay in the city. It is not only in South Africa, it's an observation which has been done worldwide, that you know, you find that the rural practices are actually diminishing because of urbanization. It's a challenge which we do, and I think that has really it leads the broader strategy to try and deal with it. And one of the strategies which we'll be implementing during this financial year is the issue around heavy veterinarians having to do community service. This is a short-term measure. There's got other intervention strategies to ensure that you know, we deal with the situation which is there in the profession itself. And it's occurring worldwide because of the way at least the veterinarians in terms of their education and training have been trained in terms because we get in a challenge because with regard to outbreaks of diseases. Where now you find that most of the politicians ask more about, like for instance in the UK where they had foot and mouth and now they're having flu shots. And they've been asked in a way the controls are being implemented on the ground. And really a system which is protected through the traditional organization of the
happen to check if the pilot was before we could roll over to other problems. And that's what we've done, and we are currently trying to finalize the arrangement from financial institutions to retail the
was the response to the lady's question on the vacancy. Chairperson, I think what one must keep in mind is numbers is vacancy numbers is not always set, but was it a continuous in and out of people and personality in department. The chairperson, what we do to say, I'll drop this block specifically, we created so-called organizational development committee within your department, with the main purpose of what we call to apply establishment planning since October last year. The purpose of this committee, chairperson, is to prioritize work study, job evaluation, creation of posts, as well as the abolishment of posts. Chairperson, just think around some numbers. On the 1st of April 2016, you know the current year as we are reporting this committee now, there were 869 vacancies on the establishment. At the end of the financial year, with this committee working for roughly 5 months, the vacancies were down to 567. As we said yesterday, at the beginning of this month, we were down to 442. That's been abolishment chairperson as well as streamlined process of funding. So the problem has been identified also by ourselves, and we are trying from our side to clean it up. I don't think one could will be able, any at any stage in the recent board to the elevator, because people come and people go. But we want to bring it down to say at least 8 and 10%. And no doubt we bring it down the application rate up by 24%. We're now talking 14% as of today. At the end of the financial year, there were only 567 and now it's 4%. Thank you, sir.
I just want to follow up with just a comment on the integrated food security program. Jefferson, if you take the Millennium Development Goals of improving the secure households food by 2015, I think and at the time of reporting we have 2.2 million households insecure. And you take it the rate that they are doing this feed packages thing that although they said they're going to do 60,000, they actually need more than that for the financial, they have to cut more than that. But if you do a simple calculation, at the rate of 60,000 per year, it will take you 20 years to get to the set target of the goals of 2050. So the 10% that they're talking about, the take off from the cuts, I'm just worried that that might not be sufficient. They need to look at that. But another observation that I might share with you is this around priorities. If you look at what they cut, I think in the financial year they use 300 million. They allocate 300 million which they use. But in the same year, they allocated 508 million to the Agriculture Research Council. I think the question is here, it's unbalanced, because the cuts are dealing with emerging farmers, dealing direct with poverty people in the rural areas, people the poorest of the poor. So, how do you want to then justify it that you give 500 million to the Agriculture Research Council? And by the way, chairperson, the department also spent 42 million on their own research, in their own department. So they have also got a problem. The department has got a research division which has spent 42 million, and we got the Agriculture Research Council which is spending
where we've got 508 million. So the question is here, it, to me, it's unbalanced. And I'm just feeling that I guess that there's a priority problem here. And I think the department needs to look at it at the next finance. I think it would be quite interesting to see at the next budget, the next year's budget when they present it, how this figure is going to look like. And also the figure around the food security. Because at the rate that the department is doing, it's going to take you 20 years to do it. We then have that the goals.
And the mayor on the same issue, saying so much has been spent by the Council for Research, so much has been used by the Department for Research. It would be good if they could elaborate on that. So who is doing the research for who? Who is the Agricultural Research Council doing the research for who? And if so much has been spent by department, who's doing the research to have that kind of sense?
So thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let's know that the comment, if I do agree with the response about the GMO program, is that if there are some of the programs that are not allowed from other countries to come into the country. I don't know whether it's realized, but we do go to those countries. And when we get there, you're not even alert. In fact, there's no any alert that don't buy this because you don't use it in your country to buy that. So preventing that in that way, when we refer to go into those countries. But what does it help us? Because we need to be educated on this so that we know exactly what is happening. It doesn't matter, whether you stop the confinement elsewhere, say you can go to other countries. I'm trying to agree with us. Let's debate this issue so that we all understand. The other issues, I was not going to actually respond on this, but it was unfortunate that the acting DG actually pinpointed that and say that the Auditor General report, it was unfortunate. Chair, when we receive these documents, we read them. And when a department comes to us, we expect that the department will reflect on some of those things that are contained in this report. Mr. Van Rooyen actually, let me start here. I think I will have to pardon the presenter when they started calling us names, it's because we did not say who we are. I'm Madalam this, not this. When he says this, he's from the whole clan. Jamini is who the whole clan, but I'm in this. Thank you. So, you know, where it says, I mean, the Auditor General's report, it says, among other things, in the bulletin on page 9, lack of sufficient appropriate audit evidence. You read that. I'm not going to go beyond that. Then it goes on to say the same thing. Other concerns raised by the AG were that the department still does not have documents, policies, procedures and control mechanism for internal control. I can go on and on, that's what it says. And the same page 10, in conclusion, the department did not achieve all the targets set out for 2006 and 2007 financial year. And the main reason given was this one. Given for this failure is lack of capacity within the department. It is of a great concern that for the past few years the department has been faced with the challenges lack of capacity. Conclusion. Now, how do you qualify the statement that it is unfortunate that such a report has been sent to us?
I wasn't going to do challenge, but really, I would like to know how do we challenge that report? You know, if you put it in Africa, who can they get their left? Thank you.
because according to the report, the only 23,000 dollars was allocated for the beneficiaries. And at the same time, beneficiaries, four beneficiaries in the uniform allocated $10. It must be not specifically just for smaller Yana concepts or what, so that we can have an understanding. And the other issue I've seen in the report is the cooperative that are doing a financial challenge. I'm not sure whether those problems can be done for. I know that problems are done. We always raise those concepts on the because there was a time where the NEC used to find the doing the and ask whether, in terms of the criteria of whatever programs in the agriculture, that falls within the 9,000 of agriculture. And under the that we highlighted where some projects were approved. Now I just want to check whether in other provinces, whether there were any other projects that were approved, even if it's not then 2006, whether in this current financial year, have they improved on that? In those provinces, Eastern Cape and Limpopo only. I just want to check in particular for KZN. Thank you.
Thank you, Oliphant. I think let's have answers from the side of the department once more.
Chair, I'm going to ask, there are a couple of questions that have been asked and I'm cast the foreman. I'm going to ask Mr. Swart to take a couple of those.
Sorry, Chairperson, before that, I left the other one, so that leads to cut to cut. According to the report, 874 projects were approved, but the department has achieved only 741, according to the report of 2006. Now, I just want to check what happened in 133 projects. Are they still on, or what has happened to that? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I would also perhaps ask my colleague, Mr. Fenter, he has some on the spending, cash spending. I think there was a question around that, and I think he has some information on that. But just if I could reflect on the cash amount of money versus, for example, ARC funding, certainly one of the policy priorities that we presented to Treasury this year is for additional funding under CASP for a recovery plan for extension. So a lot of work has gone into that in terms of determining what's required there. So we've asked for additional funding specifically under CASP for that. Whether we will get it, we will see how soon, but certainly that's the one point. I think the one question, there was a question by Honourable Member Oliphant about cash, but I think when she unpacked it was really a drought relief question, so I'm not quite sure I'm able to respond to that. Maybe one of my colleagues could pick up on that. I noticed the question about the 741 projects. Sam, have you got a Sam will respond to that then as well. Thank you.
Thanks. On that one, I think what the report is saying is 874 projects were approved for implementation, but provinces could only manage to complete out of the 874 complete 744, because as you know, the agriculture is its nature. You have projects that will overlap to other years. So it doesn't mean that there was no delivery on this. There was a start. It's just the report is focusing on those which were completed in this financial year. Maybe if I can also respond to other questions which came, which need to be attended to by myself. The question by Honorable Member Van Rooyen on food security. Yeah, the MDG, I think those targets are not necessarily for the Department of Agriculture to achieve. The 62,000 that is referred to is for the projects which are directly funded or facilitated by the Department of Agriculture. Hence, we have the so-called Integrated Food Security and Nutrition Task Team, which is comprised of social sector departments. There are other departments like Social Development, Department of Education, Department of Health, who are also contributing to the same target. And we take it the report in terms of target will be coming from those departments. But the targets, as we reflect here, are the ones that are coming from the department directly. There was a question on MAFISA, I think, by Honorable Member Oliphant. I think the member was reading just reports on one of the quotas. The targets at the end of the year are reflected on page 37. Those are the targets, the total targets. Out of the 2,000 farmers that we targeted in the year under review, we exceeded that by almost 100%, because a total of 5,109 farmers were assisted. The Agri-BE as well. I think on the Agri-BE, Agri-BE was only launched in quotes last year, and there was only 47 million set aside for Agri-BE for projects. And the amount was not that much to cover all the provinces. Even the current year, I think we only have 50 million available for Agri-BE. But the idea is to align that with other programs within the department so that we can support quite a number of projects in all the provinces. Yeah, 20 was for training, yes, it was reported on the training. Yeah.
Thank you,
Mr.
Marek.
Chairperson, thank you. Just a quick remark on the member Van Rooyen on the CAS versus the ARC. ARC, Agricultural Research Council, SERB, comes from 1991 Act of Parliament. The 500 million plus that we carry on the budget is a parliamentary grant for the council in total. It's a total government assistance for the ARC to be there. And it pays more or less for its personal expenditure and a small portion of goods and services from where the IRC must get its own revenue to function as a council. As far as the 47 million own research is concerned, we do not have a research unit, but we make use from a national, let's say, priority research point of view for our department itself. We make use of the IRC, and that is then services that we pay for at the council as such. Chairperson, the question on the payback for the drought relief, all that could have happened is that each drought relief scheme is designed within certain rules and regulations. The money is transferred by the DORA principles from national to the provinces, and if not utilized in terms of the scheme, it must be paid back to national treasury. That's the only reason that I can think of. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, no, the relationship between the CAS and the ARC, I was just trying to illustrate that there is a mismatch. If you can allow 500 million rand for research, but only 300 million for the poorest of the poor, there is a mismatch, and that is just what I was trying to say, that it's very difficult to justify those things. It's just that mismatch.
Yes, Chair, I will respond to the cost spending. If 300 million was the national allocation, and then some provinces spent more than that, they supplemented it from their own funds. If I can run quickly through the expenditure percentages of the provinces, the Eastern Cape was on 75%, the Free State on 90%, this is now of the national allocation. The Eastern Cape 75%, Free State 99%, Gauteng 112%, KZN 94%, Limpopo 96%, Mpumalanga 100%, Northern Cape 122%, Northwest 148%, and the Western Cape 112%. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, maybe another response from my side, Chair. I think that the question that has been raised around CASP, what we do as a department is that we've got teams allocated to each and every province. CASP, the provinces report to us as prescribed in DORA, monthly only are spent on CASP and quarterly. So as part and parcel of monitoring and evaluation exercise, quarterly, as the department, send teams that are led by the DDGs to the various provinces, split together, the chief directors and DDGs, that go and try to do some kind of a verification exercise against what has been sent to us by the provinces on their performance on CASP. What we also do, depending on the request, of course, made by the accounting officer in the provincial department, we do allocate resources, call it physical resources or human resources, where there are challenges in the province to go and assist when there is a request that has been raised. But there are two processes that are fixed in our environment, is the monitoring of the reporting on a monthly and a quarterly basis, and the physical visiting of the province by the members of the executive in our own department of structure to go and see whether there are projects, taking a sample of the projects that had been approved by the department for CASP. The other question that was raised around resource challenges, yes, we do have challenges around resources, I must say. I guess it's a question, Chair, to say that what we do, we present to national fiscals what is it that we think we require, but of course with the competing resource requirement out of the national budget, is that I think there is so much that can be given to agriculture, and we keep on fighting to get more. So we do that, Chair, and in terms of resources, if it was going our way, we would have loved to have more resources to be able to both respond to the backlog of infrastructure challenge and as well to accelerate the process of land and agrarian reform. I thought those were the questions that I think the rest of the questions the colleagues have responded to. Thank you.
Just a comment. On this integrated food security, the Department of Agriculture is the leading department in that. Now, what do they think they will achieve these millennium goals? If they are the leading department, according to what I know, if you are the leading department, will you obtain those objectives? Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's a difficult one, because when you talk of poverty and the statistics, they always keep on changing, and it may not be possible for one to immediately say yes here, because it depends on the number of people who are coming to the category of those who are regarded as food insecure, and it may be difficult, not even for South Africa, for the region as well. Thanks.
Yeah, I think because of time, I have to pause here.
the subject matter is very complex. I hear the committee members really interrogating the subject. They want to know the practicality on the ground. Are we making a headway? Are we succeeding? Are we failing? If we are succeeding, what can we show? Because we'd love to see. We want to reconcile what is on paper with what is practical on the ground. These members come from different provinces. We want to see. And therefore, when SU will be responding to some of the questions in writing, it would be good, really, to give us what is on the ground. Honorable Scrumbog made mention of the issues in Limpopo. It was said those are the provinces, but you are interlinking with the provinces. It's a three spheres of government. You're working with the provinces. You're saying the provinces are reporting to the national. You are providing funding. So you precisely have to monitor. You have rightfully said your DDGs are going from province to province. So there's no excuse to say the provinces are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We as politicians, we're interacting with the people on the ground. And it would be good to hear what is happening on the ground. But there are serious problems on the ground, department. There are serious problems on the ground. These politicians are going to be stretched severely when they go now for campaigns, just to find out almost 5 years down the line nothing has happened on the ground. Talking in terms of millions of rand, billions of rand, but practically nothing has happened on the ground. This raises a very serious concern. You know, it's a pity as politicians we don't have space of movement really, because we would be engaging you to go with you to provinces so that you show the success story. And we see the failures and calculate how much has been spent within this particular current year. If this is the kind of spending, how much production is there? So I hear the members. The members are not happy. But let's leave it with you. Provide on paper the data of different provinces. You must be having it. We live in a time of technology. Computers are there. You just press the button, the information comes out. So we'd love to see that in terms of oversighting when we go to our provinces. Parliament will soon be rising. It will be good if the members have some of these things on paper, so that when they do oversight, they can say, in this area, according to this paper, let me go and do an oversight on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you don't do that, then we see nothing on the ground. We want to verify what you're saying on paper with the practicality on the ground. Let me thank you anyway, but we're dealing with a very complex subject, of which is security, poverty alleviation. It's tough on the ground. This nation may rise against us all. They may burn, you know, tires all over. You know, we must avoid that by becoming practical and productive. Thank you very much. The deliberations committee report, National Council of Provinces report of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs on annual report and financial statement for We have in 2 sets of minutes, is it 2 sets or one?
Yeah.
2 sets. 1 August and 9 October. The 1st of August, the minutes of the 1st of August. Yes. Are you proposing?
Yes.
Seconded by Honorable Adam. Then we have the minutes of the 9th of October. Honorable Van Rooyen is proposing seconda. Honorable Zizi.
Yeah.
Then we have this report then in conclusion. The Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs draft a report on the follow addresses of the Taking Parliament to the People program in the Free State Province. Date 5 to 8 August 2007. I wasn't there yet. Honorable Zizi?
I move that.
Seconded by Honorable Van Rooyen. Thank you very much, honorable members. I think we have it.
Yeah, you can stand up there.